at 8.07, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Busy there during the break, getting more of the podcasting up. Of course, we talk about the podcast here at FM Talk 106.5. This show, midday show, full-length shows in the evenings, on the weekends. You know, we're doing, I total it up and then forget, over 30 hours
easily
of organic programming every week, which is huge in today's world. It takes a lot of doing, but we're happy to do it. And also some smaller vignettes like the Fishing Report. I just thought about this as I posted them up. I put them together on Twitter and on the Outdoors Facebook page, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, that we're doing inshore and offshore reports. I can probably roll the dice and say nowhere else in the nation are you getting that. We've got Blake Michaleski with Mobile Big Game Fishing Club talking about the offshore report. That podcast goes up Thursdays, Wednesday evening or Thursdays every week. And of course, on Thursday mornings, Captain Bobby talks to us, and then we post that report up as well. So if you're a fishing-minded folks, we got you covered, inshore and offshore. And remember, even more discussion on that goes on every Saturday morning with Mike Ward and myself as we host FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors at 7 o'clock on Saturday mornings.
And there's a lot of places you can subscribe to our podcasts and have them delivered to you. I'm thinking iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, even TuneIn Podcasts. But like you were just talking about, we have so many other programs. Both of those fishing reports you mentioned and our other sports and outdoors shows. I'm thinking FM Talk Outdoors on Saturday mornings with you and Mike Ward. Also Prep Sports Report that comes on Saturday mornings, and Plain Gardening with Bill Finch along with Southern Fairways. You can get every one of those podcasts on our website under the Sports and Outdoors tab. After each of those shows airs, we upload that to that part of the site, so you can just click and listen there. Don't even need to subscribe.
All right. Very good. So, yeah, but subscribing is a good thing. And do this for us when you go and listen to a podcast. You dig the podcast, give us a good rating. You know, if you're on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever, give us the thumbs up or stars or kitten emojis or whatever they use for rating on individual podcast
and
sites.
And share that on social media as well, so people don't have to search around. They can get that link and go directly to the show that you are raving about.
There you go. Very good. All right. 8.09 FM Talk 106.5. This hour, a couple things to talk about and three big things up on our website. Top stories for the day. We're watching, number one, North Korea showing Trump in a new light after the summit. We'll talk about that some with you if you want to. Also, newspaper boxes renovated to accept retired American flags, using these, decommissioned newspaper boxes for decommissioned American flags. Pretty good move there. And of course, today is Flag Day, and we'll talk about that. But the story, I think, on a national front that has a lot of people talking, and that is a story of what may or may not come out today. What we're talking about is a report on the FBI actions in the Clinton email case. Today, the Justice Department's internal watchdog expected to criticize the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation, stepping into a political minefield while examining how determinedly a nonpartisan law enforcement agency came to be entangled in the 2016 presidential race. Story from the AP says the Inspector General's report is set for release this afternoon, likely to be painstakingly detailed, the culmination of an 18-month review into one of the most consequential FBI investigations in recent history. Now, President Trump will look to the Inspector General report to provide a fresh line of attack against two former top FBI officials, former Director James Comey and his deputy Andrew McCabe, as he claims that politically tainted bureau tried to undermine his campaign and through the Russia investigation, his presidency. And Trump will also certainly use the report to validate his firing of Comey last year. But the report also could do more to back Democrat claims that the FBI contributed to the Clinton defeat, most notably by reopening in the final days of the race its investigation into whether she mishandled classified information. Remember what a big deal that was back in October of 16. That development unfolded as Trump's own campaign, unbeknownst to the American public, also came under FBI investigation for possible coordination with Russia. Now, Inspector General Michael Horowitz, a former federal prosecutor appointed by former President Obama, prepared the report. Supporters from both parties regard him as apolitical. His most significant report before this one was the 2012 study of the botched Obama-era gun operation known as Fast and Furious. You remember that, of course, with Holder back then. The Clinton report will examine key actions by FBI leaders. Those include Comey's decision to publicly announce in July of 2016 his recommendation against criminal charges charges for Clinton and his disclosure to Congress days before the election that the investigation was being revived because of newly discovered emails. Now, this is going to be interesting as they're already caging this. Whatever comes out, you'll watch spin machines, mm-hmm. find the part that they like, and say, look, this is... I mean, so though I have a feeling that the Democrats will hail it and the Republicans will hail it.
Yeah, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions actually had an interview with The Hill yesterday. I guess they have a web show called Rising. One of the things he said, if anyone else shows up in this report to have done something that requires termination, we will do so. They say it's unclear whether Sessions knows which individuals will be cited in this report that's coming out at 1 o'clock today. But, of course, several top FBI and Department of Justice officials are likely to come under criticism once this report comes out. So Sessions, speaking yesterday, said, I think it will be a lengthy report and a careful report. He added that he thinks it will, quote, help us better fix any problems that we have and reassure the American people that some of the concerns that have been raised are not true.
You know, although we are so partisan and so split in this country that IG's report will come out. And like I said, both groups will spin. You're going to see, I'm sure people say either depends on how far the seesaw is leaning down to one side or another. In other words, how far it is in indicting Clinton and the FBI or indicting the Trump administration, people will say the IG is the greatest thing ever, or the IG, they're a bunch of dunderheads, right?
It's an 18-month investigation, yeah. as you talked about, and it'll be interesting to note all the names that we kind of forgot about come back into the headlines. You know, you're talking McCabe, you're talking Comey, you're talking Clinton, you're talking about the Inspector General. So this will be interesting to see these details and learn more. And as you alluded to, both sides probably going to congratulate this situation. Some are calling this the president's best birthday ever. You know, today's President Trump's birthday.
Is it, so the president's birthday is on Flag Day?
It is.
And it is Flag Day. We will talk some Flag Day this hour as well. And then I saw this story that this one kind of, I didn't hear it discussed a bunch, but story from my NBC 15. See, I finally learned. Quit calling them local.
Right.
It's taken me months, but my NBC 15 says the U.S. Department of Transportation announced which projects will be receiving infrastructure for rebuilding America grants. That's the infra grants. And the $250 million grant application for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project is not on the list. The $2 billion project includes, of course, building the bridge over the Mobile River, widening the bayway to 8 lanes. They talked to Congressman Byrne about this, and he says this will not slow down the progress of this project. All the federal regulatory approvals will be done by the end of the year, he said, and with this being a 4-year build, there's still time to get some grant money. Yeah, but that's disappointing, because if you thought about all the discussion, one of the legs of the stool President Trump had talked about, things he was going to do, was this great infrastructure revival. Mm-hmm. So we knew money was at play. He had said $1 trillion. I said, you know, be lucky to get that through Congress, you know, because they're busy spending money elsewhere. But let's say it's billions, or call it a $1 trillion infrastructure project. Well, with that, some people, I think I'm not alone, went, man, there's a pretty good chance of us getting some pretty hardcore federal funding. It's infrastructure. It's an interstate. It's a federal road. All these things coming together, and maybe there's still other avenues. I know we've had a lot of elected officials on here telling us, don't worry, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, maybe in Washington, $250 million isn't a big deal. Back here at home, we'll take a $250 million grant
easily
to help get this thing built.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And it's especially disappointing to hear that news after the last few weeks, where it seems like there's been wreck after wreck slowing down traffic going
only
through
on days that end in Y.
Oh, that's all. That's only,
and the days that have the sun shining.
Yes, only.
Or the rain,
yeah,
raining.
Or raining. Or the ones, it's only in the daytime and the nighttime.
That's
on days that end in Y.
If you can plan around that, you're probably going to be good.
Only when motor vehicles are involved.
You're right. So you're pretty high. Other than that... You're
cynical.
Golden. You're golden. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Me? Cynical? 343-0106. That's our phone number. Text line 343-0106. Remember, Summer Better Than Others giveaway. It's on now. Your chance to get registered this week and into next week at the Carrot Patch in the Pine Brook Shopping Center. Drop your name in the registration box once per week. You win the $50 weekly prize and be in the running for over $5,500 in giveaways. Details on our website, Facebook page, Instagram, Smoke Signals, Twitter. Go check them out. 21, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Thursday's good day to set an appointment for maybe early next week or maybe get it done before the weekend with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. My buddy Trey Bennett, local franchisee for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Mobile and Baldwin County's been in business for a decade. You're getting old, Trey, and doing great work here for your business, your home. Listen, you've got junk you need it gone. He can handle it. And maybe it is at work. Maybe it is at a storage unit. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's something physically you can't move. You don't know what to do with it when you go to throw it away. He can handle that. If it's junk, it's his business. He knows what to do with it. And local folks, you see the trucks around here. They're working at probably your neighbor's house, somebody in your neighborhood, or someone you know if you want to double check. But I've been telling you, Trey's a great guy. They do great work, and they're easy to get in touch with. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, we'll grab some phone calls here and also run through a couple things on our list on this Flag Day. We're going to get into that. And a reminder that Some Are Better Than Others contest going on now this week. The Carrot Patch, your chance to get registered. All right, let's go to Rick and Daphne first. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for calling.
Regarding the bridge, and I'm not an engineer, but everyone with half a brain cell knows that the biggest problem with the tunnel is the 120-degree turn that you take exiting westbound and entering eastbound, you know, within 50 feet of the bridge.
They have shut down the eastbound. Like, that lane, the death lane there, that where you get on going eastbound on I-10, that they have decommissioned that. Now they're going to do
it. No. Yeah. That doubled the problem. You still have the extreme arch coming westbound where you come out of the tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
And hang that hard left coming out. And it's the same thing going into the tunnel eastbound. Even though the death lane is no longer there, you still have to make almost a 180-degree turn to the right going into the tunnel.
Yeah, turn to at Talladega, except it's not left like Dega, it's to the right.
Whoever engineered that should be dug up and shot and hung and then buried in flames.
All right, let's put Rick down as undecided.
Yeah, so when you look at the bridge, and I know the pictures and the videos might not be an exact replica of the actual structure, but if you look at it, there's a turn to the right, eastbound, before you actually start to ascend. Why in God's name would we spend $10 billion to do the same thing?
Drawing.
I know it's a bridge and it's not a tunnel, but if you're leaving Birmingham and you're southbound on 65, it's four lanes wide, and right there at Pelham, where all it does is take a slight turn to the right, just a slight turn, and everybody in God's creation on four wheels has to slow down because it's a turn. And all we're going to do is spend $10 billion for a prettier version of the same problem we have. For God, for the love of Pete, if anybody is listening to this and has any contact with anyone who's going to pay a penny for this bridge project, please make it straight for a mile before it goes up and before it comes down. Problem solved.
Hey, no problem, man. That's great. Now, a couple things here. So I don't have the drawing in front of me, but I'm picturing it. There is that fade. The exit to go that I've seen, the exit to go to the bridge, comes off like where Virginia Street is now. Mm-hmm. So you do have the distance to, instead of incorporating the whole turn over a quarter mile, you could have the turn incorporated over a mile. You know, obviously, you make the same connection, but you could do it at slighter amounts of degrees over the entirety of that going through. And you know what? I would want to correct you and say it's not a $10 billion project. It's a $1 billion project. But listen, I've been watching government projects long enough that I don't have the guts to say that right now. The project's supposed to be, remember it started off, it was 800,000. You know, so, no, I mean, 800 million. I was like, yeah, sure. Then it was right. 1 billion. Then it was 1.2 billion. And then, you know, he could end up being correct. It could end up being.
I'm still stuck on the death lane. because you know exactly what he's talking about.
Well, that's what I call it. That's why he said, I call it that, but I'm sure somebody's going to be mad at me. I didn't go and looked at the text line. But that's what we've always called it because it's, you know, I mean, you've.
You really. Pray. You used to have to
get a serious running start. But then if nobody lets you in,
you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So it was
you run out of pavement.
That's why they have that closed down now. And let's use it for, I don't know, let's put a garden in there or something like that. All right, we'll come right back to the phones here in a second. We also are talking Flag Day today. And I want to finish this story from last hour because I think it's great. And also just saw some members of the Coast Guard come walking through where our studios are here. Said surveillance story from Fox 10 said surveillance cameras caught a man ripping down the flag in front of a home, stomping on it, and then leaving it on the sidewalk. Minutes later, two heroes came to the rescue and carefully fold the they would be folded here. I hate to edit on the fly with their stories. Carefully folded the flag and left it on the doorstep. That was 24-year-old Keyes Anderson and 25-year-old Nikki Thompson. Anderson has worked at Mobile's Coast Guard Aviation Training Center for almost 2 years. It's where he proudly wears the American flag on his uniform and learns what it stands for. He says, here, the flag represents the people who serve in many ways. I definitely was more than happy to stop and take a little time out of my night just to fold it and give it the respect it deserves. He said, I'm in the Coast Guard, search and rescue. That's our jam. That's what we do. And of course, it means a lot to me, end quote. So when he and a friend came across the crumpled flag on Dolphin Street, clearly ripped off the pole, Anderson saw it as just another way to serve his country. And Thompson, Nikki Thompson, who was with him, helped him. Said, we were joking. She said, Keyes, you're in the military. This is fate. You were born for a moment like this. Let's fold it up. Thompson said, I grew up in the military family, so you respect the flag, and it's somebody else's property. It belonged to someone else. It means something. There's all kind of act and right going on here. Mm-hmm. There's various levels of act and right. I mean, from a patriotic style to just respect for a homeowner and somebody else. Y'all, this is chock full of act and right.
And can I just add this?
Yeah.
When you have that military connection, you know, that's when you don't find people who say, I'm off work, or that's not my job. It's understood.
Yeah.
The military, pride that you have.
And you and I both coming through scouting.
And I worked for the Marine Corps.
Right. So, what I'm saying, but we came, you know, you have a, obviously, you know, a more time with it, with the Marine Corps. But I'm saying for people in scouting. It taught, you know, this is why I worry that people aren't learning this stuff. Okay. And then it talks about the relationship between these two. It's kind of a nice, sweet story here. But they say further down in the story here, it says, but what happened minutes before they got there was the opposite of kindness. The surveillance cameras also caught a man ripping the flag down and stomping on it before walking away. If you take a closer look, which I did, thank you, looking at the story here, and thank you, Alexa Knowles, for pointing that out. You take a closer look, the man is dressed as a pirate. Ironic, says Alexa, if you think about who later found the flag, and with the flag back up now where, because Coast Guard, flag back up now where it belongs, it also stands as a reminder of all the good in the world. Well done story, Alexa Knowles from Fox 10. I agree, there's all kind of act and right going on in this story that just makes me happy.
And not to focus too much on the bad actor in that situation, but the guy, the pirate. I wish he would take a second, and I'm sure alcohol was involved, but what other country can you dress up like an idiot like he was that night, dress up like a pirate, walk around town, and then just the disrespect he shows, that wasn't even his flag.
Probably not even his neighborhood. I mean, think about that.
Just despicable. And for a couple people to show up after that and wrong his right and do it properly.
Right his wrong.
Right his wrong.
Thank you. Right his wrong.
Or do whatever.
Before Flag Day makes it even more perfect.
Yeah, it's a good story. We'll link it through on the Twitter feed and on our Facebook page. Love to get your reaction to this when we come back from the break.
I was just going
to
say, you know, if businesses, local businesses, they could track this pirate, if you think about it, the cameras that are there. That pirate,
be walking the plank soon, you think?
Captain Hook said, what?
Dressed as a pirate, pulls down the American flag, stomps on it, goes off. And I like the fact, too, that there are two reasons I said, obviously, respect for the flag and respect for another person's property.
Right.
Like That's I said, all deal. Kind of acting right going on. More of that, please. We'll be right back. It sounds great, just in time for Father's Day. Hey, Dad, here's a snake in the animal skull. We like all kind of stuff, right?
Jump in and just handle it.
That's right. So, I mean, if you've got a dad on your list that wants a snake and an animal skull for Father's Day, Serpents of the Emerald, got you set up. All right, 835 FM Talk 1065. I just say things. What?
Yeah. I just think, you know how you know you're really a dad? You're like garbage disposals. Like when kids don't want to finish things on the
that's
plate.
That's right.
You're like, okay, I'll eat that. Give me that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like when you know there's a dad in the house.
Well, that's me. That's me. Unfortunately, that's me, right? That's why, you know, let's just say the pre-dad Sean was not as big as the dad Sean.
You had a story earlier, Sean, that most people or a good percentage of people will wait until the very last, actually day of to buy their dad a Father's Day gift.
Yes,
I just want everybody to know that I did not procrastinate this year. I bought my Father's Day gift an entire week in advance.
Okay, wait. I'm not going to let you get away with that. Tell folks why you did.
Right.
Okay.
I might have thought that last weekend was Father's Day. And that's why I went out shopping for a Father's Day gift, thinking that last Sunday was hustling. I was in a hurry. I was like, why is no one out shopping for Father's Day?
They don't like their fathers.
Full right now, right? And so I got the Father's Day gift, and then lo and behold, I find out I did it a week in advance. So earliest I've ever bought a gift for anyone.
Right, so the best thing to do would be to put a false reminder on your calendar on your phones and have whatever holiday it is, Mother's Day, Father's Day, something gift-giving occasion, you put that a week ahead of time and put it on there, and then you convince yourself that that's when it is. You go out and get the gift, and then you're done.
Yeah, I was even thinking, you know, I could buy something on Amazon, but but it won't make it here in 2 days, and I need it this weekend. So I go out and buy one, and yeah, a whole week in advance. I'm going to try to do the same for the next holiday.
You're well done.
Oh,
well done. We were talking yesterday about the newest Mazda being driven by Kelly Finley, the Mazda 3 Grand Touring.
This is the Touring.
Touring.
Yes.
Touring. What happens with the... Does this mean you take tours out of the Mazda? How does that work?
That means I get to have fun telling you all about it. So this is the latest Fab 5 vehicle. The Fab 5 Mobile, receiving rave reviews at home. So, of course, this week I've been telling you about the 2018 Mazda 3 Touring with a premium package. Now, here's the deal. So this vehicle seats 4 adults comfortably, okay? But now I'm going to go into mama mode. If you have 2 car seats and a booster in the back seat, you can fit 3 people. Okay.
There you go.
It's important that we note that, because sometimes you look at vehicles, you say, I'm not sure. Yes, you can do that. So that's how it can seat 5. All right. You have the sunroof. You have the Bose stereo. You also, if you're in the mood for your first time vehicle, let's say a kid's going off to college, or maybe, you know, you as a professional, you're looking to not break the bank. This is your vehicle. This is like the starter vehicle to get you introduced into Mazda, and then you're going to stay once you realize the luxury. This was one of the surprising notes for me, that this is a luxury vehicle. A lot of times people hear Mazda, they don't think luxury. Change the way you think.
Yeah.
Yes, it is absolutely beautiful. I will post pictures so you can see the gentleman I'm talking about, because he's a gentleman. But the interior, the exterior, absolutely beautiful. 5-star rating and gas and the type of mileage that you can, you know, enjoy while you're driving, let's say across the bay 2, 3, 4, 5, or maybe 6 times like I have done recently. This won't send you back to the gas station real quickly. You get to really maximize your time in the vehicle and save some money as well. For more information, please zoom on over to the all-new Dean McQuarrie Mazda on the East Service Road of I-65, or you can give them a call, 471-DEAN, or there's a third option. Hop online, do your research, combine it with what we talk about during the week, and there you have it. You are in the know when it comes to all things Dean McQuarrie Mazda.
Good stuff. 840 FM Talk 106.5. Y'all, hold on. I got a bunch of people on the phone coming to first. Brandon in Mobile. Did you say you were there where the flag was torn down?
Oh yeah, this is Brandon. Yeah, I guess I think you're talking to me.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. Hey,
not
Brandon.
There. I'm a retired Special Operations combat medic.
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you. I was wounded on 2 occasions. I was finally retired at 18 years in 2015, but the flag represents a little bit more for certain people than the majority, and I understand that. But what got me the most in that whole scenario is they did it not knowing they were being videoed.
Yeah,
they did it just because it was the right thing to do. And in my mind,
yep,
that's not only my flag. That's what I've draped that over a lot of my buddies that I've sent home.
Mm-hmm. Let that sink in, folks. And then you had this dirtbag in the pirate costume who rips somebody's property down that happens to be the American flag and stomps on it. And like you said, you know what I think is great, Brandon, is they did. Yeah, you're right. Let's point out, they did not know they weren't doing it for show. They had no idea anybody was watching them. They did it because it's right.
Yep, and that I hadn't heard anybody bring that up yet. And I just
No,
that,
well,
that's
point.
That's what touched me the most. I put a tear in my eye and gave me chill bumps just because that it just so happened. It was caught on video, which was awesome, but they didn't know it. They picked it up, they followed it up, and they left it there. And luckily it was caught, and that it was not long after somebody did the wrong thing, somebody corrected it. Not for publicity, not to be patted on the back, but just because correcting it was the right thing to do.
But you know what I'm going to do? We're gonna pat them on the back now that we figured out who they are.
And I hope they absolutely deserve it. I'll get off here. I really appreciate it. And, you know, it's more than just the flag that Amen. Represents this nation. That's something that it holds a special place in my heart. And, I can't even get into what how I feel about the person that ripped it down. I'll say that for another day, but I'm gonna stick with the thought of the ones that did the right thing and go with that. So I appreciate y'all taking the call.
Hey, Brandon, we appreciate you, your service to our country, and your story. Thank you. Thank you very much.
What a great call.
Yeah, what a great call.
Puts it into perspective, too.
And as a side note to that, and thank you, Brandon, for your service. I mean, that's just outstanding. But the two people that did this without knowing they were being watched, I just want to remind everybody, and I'm speaking as a millennial here, of their age, because you hear so many radio programs and so many people say that millennials and younger
point.
People, they have no respect for America anymore, and there's more bad millennials out there than good millennials, and no one cares for the flag, and everybody's out there kneeling. Yeah. But you have two people,
24
and 25 years old, didn't know they were being watched, stopped, picked up somebody else's property, somebody else's American flag, and did the right thing with it. And so many that are out there serving, I'm thinking of my brother and so many others that are young people out there in the armed forces that love America more than you'd ever know. So that's something to keep in mind.
It's easy to make sweeping generalizations that if you look, there are examples of quite the... Now listen, somebody could call in with 10 examples of this millennial, that... Well, you know what? I'm going to defend millennials too, Dalton, because there's every generation. I'm a Gen Xer, and there's plenty within Gen X that do the stupid things that you would say that millennials do. I mean, there's, and maybe not the greatest generation. Maybe they didn't, but, you know, at least that's what they tell us, and they're old enough now that we can't question it. Point well made.
Mm-hmm. I mean, every generation has their warts, and I think anytime someone starts a sentence with everybody, you can go ahead and discount that.
That's right.
Unless you have spoken to every single body on this planet, no thank you. But kudos to the greatness of these young people that they not only did it, they did it with love and pride. And that is what that pirate was clearly missing. You wonder if he or she was so inebriated that they don't even know what they did.
Possibly.
And that's what's so troubling. That's what's so troubling.
But is the fact that they're walking around in a pirate costume while you think they were drinking?
No.
By the way, I got a story coming up about a woman putting her head in a tailpipe. But yeah,
that they could do something so despicable, so disrespectful, and not even understand, like our last caller talked about, what that flag means and to the people who've not made it home safely.
Yep.
What that means to our generations who have fought and died for this country. That's what the problem is.
Also talking about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and a story out that says we missed out. We missed out on a grant, a $250 million grant on that. A guy is on the Bayway. Guy on the Bayway is on the Bayway. Wants to talk about it. Hey, guy.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I agree with Rick, and I'm concerned about what looks like a little right turn in that $100 billion new Bayway project. But that 90-degree turn, don't let another idiot engineer tell you a flat 90-degree turn to the right is the only problem. Have you ever been going across eastbound on the bridge, cross the causeway, and then make that horrendous 10-degree slight left turn? Hey, look at the Google Maps. They slam on the brakes and drop to 20 miles an hour because it is so horrific for people to make that little bitty left turn.
Well, you know, they also, it is the turn, when we talk about the tunnel, it's the turn and the fact that, hey, they're going underwater that causes people from Texas, northeast Mississippi
Louisiana.
Counties, some Louisiana, although they're the ones that have to go through that Bell Chase tunnel down there, they're probably seasoned to it. But there's people for just the fact they think it's like a Warner Brothers cartoon, and it's maybe not really a tunnel. Like my buddy Phillip says, it's just painted on the side of a wall, and so they're going to lock them up.
What about when you come out of the Bankhead Tunnel, though, and you have to make that quick decision? Causeway, Bayway. And people who are not from here, they slam on their brakes while they decide which is best for
them. So, Guy, what do we do? How do we fix this?
Well, Could we ban left-hand drivers and tourists from the Bayway completely?
Let me put that in my notes of questions to ask. Okay, see, can we make it only for locals? Right.
Yeah, only for local right-hand drivers, not these left-hand people that slow you down going across that horrendous little left swerve. I guess maybe they're looking at the ducks. I have no idea what they're up to, but it comes to a complete stop.
Yeah, I appreciate the call.
By the time this thing's built, automated cars are going to be in. Everyone will be behind the wheel of something that's driving for them.
Wait, if you don't think that technology is right around the corner, you know, coming up, keep an eye on my Facebook feed and Twitter feed, working with the folks at Husqvarna, I got a robot getting ready to start mowing my yard at the house.
What?
I'll give you details on that in the next week or so. Y'all stay close. Coming right back.
.51 on FM Talk 106.5, this segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. The right hire can really make an impact on your business. It's crucial that you make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates that you can reach. You could try posting on job boards, but do you really know who will see it? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. Insights that are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. That's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. 10 seconds. And right now you can go to linkedin.com/WAVH to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's linkedin.com/WAVH for your $50 credit. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think. 8:52 now on FM Talk 106.5. We're talking Flag Day here on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, that and the bridge. Yeah, reading a text here from Chuck said, the grant wasn't on the list because they missed the deadline to turn in the request. There was a news story last year where they said this. Chuck, if it's the one I'm thinking of, it was 2 years ago, is when Bentley was still there and he was busy doing whatever he was doing and forgot to get it in. But what happened was the congressional delegation moved, Congressman Byrne, along with senators as well, moved to get it put back on the list. So if it's the same one I'm thinking of, Chuck, if we're talking about the same one, they did get it put on the list, but only after the people in Washington had to pick up the slack for the fact that the people in Montgomery forgot to do it. This texture says, the bridge is a money conspiracy. Fake news. A wreck in the tunnel and close it, forcing everyone through the toll bridge. All right.
Wow. Is that a joke?
I don't know.
Well, no. Representative Bradley Byrne on Twitter posted the following. The I-10 bridge project is moving along as planned, and I am eager to sit down with the Federal Department of Transportation in the coming days to discuss federal funding options as we continue to make progress. Hashtag build the bridge.
Cameron says on the text line, it's not necessarily the tunnel or the turn. Sure, they don't help, but it's the sheer amount of traffic that has to slow down. Even if everyone slowed down to 45 or 50, traffic would eventually back up because of the cumulative effect of it all. The tunnel just wasn't designed to handle that much traffic. Now, that is true. It reached, I think, max capacity 7-8 years ago. I think that story came out. Somebody asked about the toll. Listen, they're not even dancing around. They're not even dancing around this toll thing. They are the elected officials I've had on the show from our national delegation and locally just tell you it's happening. It's a toll. All right, let's go to the phones and let's go to John in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Thing that floored me about the bridge, and it might be $10 billion because
because of
kind of floodplain issue, it's not going to tie into the Bayway. It's going to have to be above the Bayway. I don't know if you knew that.
Wait. I mean, go back a second here, John. You're saying
okay, because of floodplains or something like that. I was told by an engineer. Draftsman engineer, I don't remember what he is. But he said, I said, how are they going to do it where they tied it in and they're going to widen it? He goes, no, you don't understand. the feds tell us now they got to build a whole new bridge above a certain level.
Right. Well, I don't know if they're using the same. Okay, yeah. So I know what you're talking about now, John. The Bayway will be raised because of the height of it, because of storm surge. They want it to be, obviously, where it wouldn't be compromised with the big storm surge coming up the bay. I'm not sure, because I've heard different plans, whether they would use the part of the structure that's already there and then raise on top of that, or one of the plans, like you said, they talked about building a separate structure.
A whole new.
Yeah, but I don't know which one.
Ways across the bay.
I don't know if the ink is dry on that one, because I've heard both. I've heard there was one plan that was like, you know, you would take out a section of those concrete slabs there and like go up and then put them back down, something like that. Or another one, like you said, I've heard discussed that they would build alongside a higher and bigger bayway.
Well, I know part of the it's been mentioned about that 120 degree turn or whatever it is. You do realize, and I'm not going to say everybody, because I know that Kelly would just...
I don't like it either. I don't like everybody, but...
I was waiting for it.
But I'm pretty sure that the proper palms got greased under the table to put the tunnel where it was. And to make that turn happen, the right person got paid off.
Well, they didn't want to, and also the right person got protection for properties. Maybe that's probably the better way to say it. I think that's valid. Okay. Yeah, they didn't get eminent domained like many of us would. How about that?
But somebody else sure did. So
yep. I agree.
Anyway,
all right, John. Hey, appreciate the call. Let's see. I don't know if we.
When you're able to track that, you know, that paper trail and find out who's accountable, it changes the entire conversation, and that's what it's about.
All right, we have time for a fast one here. Joel's in Mobile. We got 1 minute, Joel.
Hey, I know me and my wife took the boat to Dolphin Island Saturday. We got a little late start, probably about 10:30 in the morning. We just moved to Summerdale, built a house over there. It took us from the Loxley exit through the tunnel at 1 hour exactly. And that was going to the West.
That's pretty good.
When we got through the tunnel, the eastbound side was backed up to Michigan Avenue, Virginia Street.
Yep.
It was ridiculous.
That's why you should stay over. Hey, man, Joel.
Y'all have a great afternoon.
And Joel, just more reason to stay on the west side, right? More reason for that. All right, coming back on Midday Mobile today. Lots to talk about, and hopefully we will have some people on that we can ask these specific bridge questions to. That's still floating around. I don't know if that's done. But also, it looks like we'll be talking to AL5's Congressman Mo Brooks.
Ah, cool.
Congressional baseball game this evening. Of course, you remember what went on last year, and Mo Brooks being present at that practice when the shooting broke out. And we'll talk to him about a year later, his thoughts, and also what's going on in Washington. That's coming up. City of Mobile and the Public Works Department. Communications Director with the City, George Talbot, joins us as well on Midday Mobile. It's all coming up at noon today. Y'all have a great one.
You have a better one.
All right, I'll do that. All right, Laurie Ingram next.